Reminder coming up at 6 o'clock tonight here on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. It's day three of the Democratic National Convention. You'll be hearing it all come your way right here on KPCC. I believe that Kamala Harris is scheduled to speak tonight. Of course, tomorrow night it will be Joe Biden as he gives his acceptance speech of the nomination. Last night he was formally chosen. I love the way they did it, being able to watch the folks from all the different states share in the nominating process like that. It was really fun. Some beautiful places in America and abroad from which people were casting their votes for Joe Biden as the Democratic nominee. Be interesting to see if Republicans do a similar approach with their online convention next week. Joining me now, one of my favorite writers on Los Angeles, is DJ Waldy. For more than 30 years, he worked as an administrator with the city of Lakewood, the suburban city next to Long Beach, where he grew up and I believe still resides in the home where he was raised. His book that he wrote back in 1996 detailed his childhood in Lakewood and the experiences of the Los Angeles of his youth as it evolved over the years. It's titled Holy Land, a Suburban Memoir. It was revised and released in 2005. And DJ's written a number of books since then, Real City, Downtown Los Angeles, Inside Out, Where We Are Now, Notes from Los Angeles, and his brand new book, just published by Angel City Press, Becoming Los Angeles, Myth, Memory, and a Sense of Place. DJ Waldy, so good to have you back with us on Air Talk.
It's a great pleasure, Larry. It's been a long time. Thank you for asking me.
It's been a very long time. One of the themes that you write about, and that for me as a lifelong Angeleno, I think is so true, is this is a city that has never become anything specific. It's in a continuous state of evolution. And I wonder if you can elaborate on that, because you have in your book all these different developmental periods in the life of Los Angeles. And it's hard when you're in it to assess what it all means. But to the best of your ability, where are we now in the evolution of L.A.?
Well, my book tries to provide ways of looking at Los Angeles that might answer your question, because I'm not sure I know how to answer it. I know the former Los Angeles, the one in which I grew up and which was true up until just a few months ago, but we now live in a different city. So part of what this book is trying to do is to give readers the capacity to sense, see, understand, research, know their place so that they can be the Angeleno the city of Los Angeles needs, the region Los Angeles needs, in this transformative moment in its history.
Let's talk about the suburban post-war LA, because you first wrote about that era. You grew up and as a child of the early 1950s and through that period of economic boom, not for everybody, but for a sizable part of the population, even people who came in the second great migration to California, African Americans from Louisiana and Texas, enjoyed the kinds of union factory jobs that weren't available to them in the state of origin where they had come from. What vestiges of that sort of LA 1950s promise, if any, are still with us?
Well, you know, the built environment of that period is still with us. The houses are still inhabited in my neighborhood and many other post-war suburban communities. The grid of streets is the same. The everydayness of the great swaths of Los Angeles remain the same, city and county. What may be different now and more troubling is the capacity for ordinary people to make a decent, dignified life. It's hard to be a working class person in Los Angeles today. Jobs are fewer, the pay is not as good, the risks are greater, and the aspirations may be the same as my parents had, but the ability to achieve them is more mixed and problematic.
we've seen such a middle class flight, which is ironic historically in Los Angeles, DJ, because so many people moved here with the intent, among other things, of moving up from working class or maybe not even working class into the middle class. And so many of our middle class Southern Californians have left because of housing prices, because of the kinds of jobs that would provide for the kind of, you know, family income they're looking for. And so other cities have boomed, Phoenix and Las Vegas and, areas inland, the Inland Empire has boomed. These areas that had been middle class coastal Angelenos have moved elsewhere. How has that affected Los Angeles?
Well, it's going to have a real effect on Los Angeles going forward if economic difficulties persist and if the restructuring of the economy in the region continues to extract decent paying middle class, if you will, jobs. But, you know, Larry, I remain optimistic. I believe that my neighbors in Lakewood, Cambodian, Laotian, Vietnamese, Korean, Filipino, Latino, African-American, these people share much of the same spirit as the spirit of my parents. And I am confident and have seen reasons to be confident that they know how to make a fit place to live, that places like Lakewood will persist in providing a harborage for everyday lives, just the way they did in the 1950s. But it will be a more troubling economic environment in which to do it. But as I say, I remain optimistic.
Well, L.A. has been such a place historically of economic mobility. I think of, you know, growing up my early years in Southwest L.A. and Inglewood, and I've talked about this before, a city that had such a significant African-American influence before the decline of that population as African-Americans. So many moved out of Los Angeles. But you felt that in terms of all kinds of cultural and economic influence. And so many of the African-American kids that I went to school with went on to college and did very well and were upwardly mobile in their families. When I moved to Hollywood in junior high school and went to LeConte Junior High and Hollywood High, we had students from literally around the world. It was a preview of the Los Angeles as the international port of entry that it would become. And to see the incredible diversity, hear so many different languages spoken on campus, another example of that tremendous evolution. But the question is that upward mobility, is that ability to come as an immigrant or someone who has migrated from other parts of the country to move up in class, is that still the same sort of promise? We're talking with DJ Waldy, author of Becoming Los Angeles, Myth, Memory, and A Sense of Place. If you want to talk with DJ about any of his books, about his writings, his sense of L.A., we're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Jeffrey asks, DJ, if you could compare your writing about Los Angeles to Mike Davis's from City of Quartz and Davis's observations about Los Angeles's shifts.
I honor Mike Davis for beginning in 1990 a decades-long dialogue, expanding it to include even writers like myself. Before Davis wrote City of Quartz, Los Angeles was not a serious subject of research and exploration. Since City of Quartz, a huge expansion of writing about what Los Angeles is, what it means, how it works, who lives here and why, where it's going. All the questions that every Angeleno asks begin with Mike Davis's seminal book. We would tend to disagree on many details of the fitness of a place like Lakewood or Bellflower or Artesia or Cerritos, any of the small cities on the coastal plain. I tend to see great value in the lives lived there. Mike may have a different view, but this is a place where it's possible to look at Los Angeles from many different dimensions. Mine is very pedestrian, very ordinary, down on the ground, the concrete I walk across every day. And that's the Los Angeles I know, the big thing, Los Angeles that I know, felt and experienced as a very ordinary pedestrian.
We're talking with DJ Waldie. His brand new book, Becoming Los Angeles, Myth, Memory, and a Sense of Place. I highly recommend it. The historic detail from the treaty signed at Campo de Cahuenga in the Cahuenga Pass. He writes about Helen Hunt Jackson and her efforts in her writing to create a kind of empathy for Mexican Americans, as Uncle Tom's Cabin did for African Americans, but how that ended up becoming a Ramonized version of California's history. The impact of the railroads and real estate speculation, architectural Los Angeles, and how that's expressed in so many ways. And of course, our manufacturing and aerospace base, which led to a huge economic boom in the 20th century. We'll continue with more with DJ Waldie, his book Becoming Los Angeles, back in 1 minute. Norman Lakewood writes on the page, Lakewood hometown hero, DJ Waldie shout out. All right, Norma. Yeah, no question, the most famous resident of Lakewood is. It's DJ Waldie who joins us. Becoming Los Angeles, Myth, Memory, and a Sense of Place. We're talking about all the historic detail that DJ provides in his book and reflections on what it means. DJ, one of the things that I love about Los Angeles is I don't think you can define it. I don't think there really is a Los Angeles. It is very distinct communities like your Lakewood that are part of a larger whole, which of course influences it in so many ways, media, politically, economically. But all these highly distinct areas, which are in part related to the race and ethnicity and where people came from, but there are a lot of other factors too. And I wonder if you can speak to that sense of how different parts of what we call Los Angeles are from each other.
There is a common belief that they are very different from each other, that the coast is different from the inland valleys, that the foothills are different from the flats, that old industrialized communities are vastly different from the more suburban communities, that history, race, and time have fragmented Los Angeles County, the region, so greatly that it's impossible, some say, to make any sense of it at all. I would suggest that is a too pessimistic view. And that's why, for example, a good deal of my book touches upon issues of nature and how nature impinges upon my life and how nature touches all of our lives. I think there are things in Los Angeles that are common to us all, that we're not all on little islands of our own. And I think one of the things that binds us together is we all share the same nature. It's everywhere pervasive in the little towns and the big cities and in the more rural areas of Los Angeles County. And if we were more attentive to how things like the experience of nature bind us together, we might find more glue to link these apparently so disparate parts of the county together.
When I was growing up, DJ, we didn't have a lot of money. So, you know, recreationally, because gas was cheap, we used the city so much. We drove all over the place. And it's how I really got to know Los Angeles and have a sense of all these different communities. You know, go to San Pedro, go to, you mentioned Southgate, you know, look at a car or something, or, you know, go downtown, go to all these different communities with such distinct senses of place. And it's so much harder for kids to grow up with that today because of traffic, because of, you know, people working so much. You know, kids work harder in school and are studying all the time. It's just much harder for people to develop, to have that experience that I did growing up in the 60s.
You're right, Larry, but there are opportunities within the confines of a much more dense and a traffic-bound Los Angeles. As a lifelong non-driver, I make my way across the vast grid of streets of Los Angeles on foot, by bus, by train and subway. There are connection points on the network of public transit opportunities in the region. And I must also emphasize that we should get to know better our own local neighborhoods too. As a consequence of the pandemic, you see a lot more people out walking their dogs these days. I have a feeling that at the end of all of this, many more people will know not only their neighbors a bit better, which will be a good thing, but they'll actually know their neighborhood a bit better. So used were they to drive out their driveway and end up on the freeway with no knowledge of what fell in between. And yet now they've plotted across those miles of neighborhood and they have a better sense of the lay of the land.
Let's talk with Jervy in Altadena. He's the writer, Jervy Tervelon. Jervy, so good to have you with us. I just want to mention again, what a wonderful piece in the Los Angeles Times about your father for Father's Day. I love that piece.
Well, thanks, Larry. And I just want to say that you're one of the few people, along with Jonathan Gold, that seems to think of the entire area as having a culture. But New Yorkers seem to think L.A. just doesn't have a culture. But Jonathan managed to connect all of it. So if you're eating Korean food, if you're eating Mexican food or food from New Orleans, like I'm from, Jonathan thought of it all as being part of Los Angeles.
Yeah, because Jervy, to me, we make it our own, right? It isn't an import. It becomes a part of our thing, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also with Jonathan, it's because his mother was my librarian at Dorsey High School.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I knew her before I knew him. They just, they thought of L.A. as being L.A.
Yeah.
Neighborhood.
Jervy, I appreciate it. Dorsey's school, my family, my aunts, everybody went to Dorsey High in Los Angeles. Jervy in Altadena, DJ Waldie, author of Becoming Los Angeles, Myth, Memory, and a Sense of Place. We have Gene, who's from mid-city L.A. Upward mobility for African Americans has greatly diminished. There's little to no middle-class black community, especially if kids right out of college in their 30s and 40s. I'm a transplant. I've been here for 40 years. I'm a baby boomer. My friends who grew up here have all done well, but their kids don't have those possibilities unless they inherit wealth or move out of the area. That's Gene in Mid-City. DJ, so good to have you with us. Wonderful book. I love Becoming Los Angeles, Myth, Memory, and a Sense of Place. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, sir. It's been a great pleasure.
I appreciate it. DJ Waldie's book from Angel City Press. Stay tuned. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. It will take a look at the Hiroshima cover-up as told by writer Leslie Bloom, the story of journalist John Hersey, whose reporting in 1946 revealed the terrible aftermath of the atomic bomb detonation on Hiroshima. Tonight at 6 o'clock, it's NPR's live coverage of the Democratic National Convention on KPCC.